All right. So we are in Vayishlach Lamed Aleph Aleph, and it's the tragic story of Dinah being taken by Shechem, raped, her brothers standing up to defend her, to save her from being kidnapped, and they murder an entire town. And the Torah itself, if you just read the words, makes it sound like they were right and they were wrong. Meaning there's like different elements of the story where it sounds like bad, and there that what the actions were that the brothers had done, Shimon and Levi. But on the other hand, it gives them the last word. What do I mean?
So then it's not murder if it's justified.
So what the difficulty is figuring out what the justification is. Now, it could be that the Torah just believes if the leader of a town does something bad, then that reflects the entire town and they all deserve to die. It could be. But like, for example, it describes their act towards Shechem. You remember? Let's go over the story for a second. Dinah is taken by Shechem. Shechem, it says that he fell in love with her, and he decided, okay, let's make this official. I'm going to try to get married to her. The problem is, the only way to get married to her is by, you know, reaching out to the family and getting their blessing. So Hamor, his father, Shechem's father, goes to them and says, you know, my son is in love with this, your daughter, Dinah, and I want, you know, let's make a marriage happen. So they, it says that the brothers got together b'mirma. In Yud Gimel, it says that the Bnei Yaakov answer Shechem and Hamor b'mirma. Mirma means like with deception or deviousness. It's a negative word. That makes it sound like they're doing something bad. Or maybe it's just tactics. I don't know. Maybe it's a neutral word. And then in the context of it, you, all right, so what do they say? What's their mirma? What's their trickery? They say to Shechem and Hamor, the only way we're ever going to get married into, we're going to allow our daughter as part of the, you know, Yisrael tribe to get married to somebody like you is if you circumcise. Not only you, but everybody who lives with you, everyone in your town has to get circumcised as well, meaning all the men. And so what do they do? So apparently Shechem goes back home, demands that everybody gets a circumcision. Can you imagine it? That the president of the United States gets up and says, all men who are uncircumcised must circumcise now because I want to marry some girl. Like, can you imagine? But they all do it, either because they're threatened or they, under his command, or they were okay with it, maybe. It's not clear. Like, maybe they're like, yeah, okay, we accept that he's doing this and it's right. So, right? So, they everybody in the town gets circumcised. Then, of course, it's very painful. So, they're unable to fight now. On the third day, which is the most painful day, Shimon and Levi descend upon the town and just kill everybody who are, like, you know, moaning in their homes in extreme pain, unable to fight against two guys, and they win, and they are able to save Dinah. So Yaakov comes over to them and says, what have you done? Shimon and Levi respond, Hakizona yased achotenu? Shall our sister be like a zona, like a prostitute? That she can just, you know, Rashi says, like, a free woman that is just, you know, a free-for-all, I guess is a better way to put it. That anybody can take her and that nobody is there to defend her. So who gets the last word in this conversation? That's where the chapter ends. Who gets the last word? Shimon and Levi. So apparently Shimon and Levi are correct. They did the right thing. That's what, whenever somebody in the conversation gets the last word and nobody responds to them, you think, okay, that's where the conversation ends. Yaakov must accept it, and apparently he was okay with it. The problem is that at the end of his life, when he's giving the brachot to his sons, he actually says about them curses. He is upset with them for having, apparently, he refers to this story several times in that, apparently, and he's not happy with them, Shimon and Levi. So it's a big question, what's going on? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Did they do the right thing or the wrong thing? All right. Let's focus on this. So it says in the beginning of Lamed Daled Aleph, very interesting thing about the story of Dinah. About Teitzei Dinah Bat Leah, the daughter of Leah, Dinah, went out. Asher Yaldal Yaakov, who was born to Yaakov, what did she go out to do? Lirot bivno ta'aretz, to see the daughters of the land. Meaning, they are now settled. They're settled in Eretz Yisrael. And she wants to go out to see the daughters of the land. Okay? And that's how she's taken by Shechem ben Hamor. Okay, so let's see what Shaddai has to say. What is the purpose of this story? Shaddai has two answers. One of them is erased. It says this is the Michikat Yaf. This is the, in the Ketav Yad, remember we have different strata. So we in the Ketav Yad, there's the commentary was put together, it seems like, by Shaddai alongside his students. And it was only published after Shaddai had died. So we have a lot of different, like, different strata, different comments that might have been taken out before the end product would come in. And these are two very different answers for why we're being told about Dina going out, getting raped, Shimon and Levi's whole story. But Teitzei Dina, Shaddai says, Hasipur hazeh ra'ayala shchatat derech hakna'anim. The story is supposed to be a demonstration of how wayward the Canaanim were, why we're supposed to wipe them out, why the Jews are commanded to genocide the Canaanim when they come into the land. That is the Mechikat Yaf, the one that was erased.
I've gotten you to do it.
What?
I've gotten you to do
it. Well, it's there. Again, when we talk about God doing genocide, it's different. It's not the right word, okay? So, according to this answer, the point of this story with Dina and the whole thing is in order to tell us how terrible the Canaanim were, that they were going out raping people. That the leaders of towns could get away with it and even convince the people to, like, do circumcision in order to be able to marry the woman that you just raped. How terrible is that? It was a complete lawlessness. It was a complete corruption of society. And if this is true, right, the two towns that we really know of in the Torah, basically, well, there's others, I guess, Gerar and stuff. But every town that our Avot encounter in the Torah are completely corrupt. I mean, think about it like this. When Avram, let's say, goes to Egypt, he's afraid that they're going to kill him in order to get to his wife. That is a bad thing. Okay, so that's Egypt. That's not in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. But what about when he goes to Gerar, which is in Eretz Yisrael? So it's the same situation. It's like the evil that's in Egypt is also in Gerar, in Canaan. Or what about when Yitzhak goes to Gerar, another issue? Or Sodom, that's with Lot. Sodom is terrible. Is completely corrupt. All the so many stories that we find out about these people are terrible. And terribly corrupt from the top, meaning that the people are also bad. It's indicated in the stories. Like, for example, who would have killed Avraham if he came in with his wife? Who would have killed him? The people. The people would have, or the ministers and the various people in the town would have killed Avraham in order to get to Sarah to give her as a prize to the king. So when we look at Lot's town of Sodom, they're willing to rape people just to get them out of the town, according to how Shaddai understands it, or they're just so incredibly terrible and corrupt. And here we have a story of a guy who sees a lady, just goes ahead and rapes her, and now wants to cover it up with marriage, and gets his entire town to just agree to this command of circumcision. And apparently the townspeople are okay with it. Okay, so what do we see? We see that these towns are corrupt from the leaders and from the people. That is really, the Torah is really hammering that home to you. Okay, so that's the first answer he gives, which again is erased. I don't know if it ended up in our version of things. Okay, that the reason why it's being told here is to tell you how terrible and corrupt the Canaanim are. Second answer given over here is the one that he added, which it goes like this. The reason for this story, says Shaddai, Hasipur hazeh nechtav lehavanat divrei Yaakov bebirchotav arur apam. The reason for this story is to understand Yaakov's curse at the end, where he says that Shimon and Levi is accursed. And we would have no idea what he's referring to in his bracha, in his really his curse at the end of his life, if we don't know this story. So it has to tell us the story in detail. I wonder what Shaddai was, like, worried about. What do you mean? Oh, cut out this and cut out the curse as well. The problem is all the brothers get a blessing. He also curses Reuven, by the way. That's his second answer.
See that they actually are cursed.
That pasuk I just read to you.
What?
Oh, interesting. Meaning, do we find later that Shimon and Levi have a worse time of their lives? Or meaning, in terms of the tribes?
Like this example I just gave, we see that.
Right, Levi is blessed. Well, here's what it says in that curse. I guess we can...
Levi's descendants are blessed.
Well, the curse for Levi, at least, is that Levi didn't get a piece of land in Israel.
Okay.
So that's a curse. It says, Achal kem b'Yaakov af yitzem b'Yisrael. I will split you up in Yaakov and I will spread you out in Israel. Okay, so that is a curse on its own. Okay, fine. So answer number one from Shadal is that we want to know how terrible the Canaanim are. So... not only for us reading the Torah and trying to understand what's going on in history, but also when it comes to you're a Jew receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, and you're being told, yeah, when you go into the land of Israel, just destroy everybody, you know, waste everybody. And you're wondering why. So there's many times in the Torah that it'll tell you, it'll give a defense in the Torah, especially in Devarim, about how terrible the Canaanim are, how corrupt they are. Here are stories, even in the beginning times, where they're already corrupt, where they don't deserve to get any forgiveness, any mercy. You might remember on V'Haknani Az Ba'aretz. You remember that? We talked about when Avram goes into the land, I think it's in Lech Lecha, he goes through the land and it says that when he was going through, HaKnani Az Ba'aretz, the Canaanites were then in the land. So Shadal talks about how there's a problem, you know, the Ibn Ezra makes it sound like, or at least Spinoza makes it sound like Ibn Ezra sounds like. The idea here is that the Canaanites, it could be, says the Ibn Ezra, that the Canaanites were in the land then, but not now when the Torah is being written, which would have to be after the conquest and after the destruction of the Canaanites, which would have to be that this pasuk, or at least those three words, came in after the Torah was given at Har Sinai and it was written much later. So that's a problem. So Shadal disagrees with that. He says, no, I think what's going on here is that the Jews were afraid that if the Canaanites, maybe the Canaanites took over the land from some other people that we don't know about. And the reason why they got the land is because God likes them. God liked them and wanted to give them the land. Imagine you're a Jew and you're being told, at least, you know, just told. Let's say the Torah just told you to destroy the Canaanites. And you thought maybe the Canaanites got into the land after having taken over another people. If they took over another people and we're taking over them, what's to stop another people from taking over from us? So the idea, Shadal says, is that the Canaanites were then in the land, meaning they weren't taken over by, they didn't take over from any other people. What? Yes, we talked about this earlier in Shadal, a couple of weeks ago. And so Shadal says that you're a Jew who needs the confidence to conquer Israel and to know that God is on your side. That's why it said, V'Haknani Az Ba'aretz, that the Canaanites were then in the land, even then, even at that point that Abraham was just going to the land, all the way back to the beginning times. So here also, apparently the first answer is that the Canaanites are terrible. That's the reason for this story. And the second answer is that we need to know from other contexts in the Torah about, you know, Yaakov curses Shimon and Levi. We have to know why. What did they do wrong? And here's the story about what he disagreed with and why he considered them very violent and those various curses there in the Torah. I have a theory myself. It's been floating around in my head for a long time that, you know, the Gemara assumes that every letter, every word, every sentence is important in the Torah. It has meaning. It has something to say. And there's halacha that can be derived from every little thing in the Torah. Why is it written this way instead of that way? And you've seen this, right? Many times in the Gemara. And I wonder if, like, stories like these could have not just halachic import, like each, you know, you can learn out halacha from this sentence or that sentence, but it could actually, the narrative can actually give, inform on the spirit of the laws themselves. So we have laws in the Torah having to do with war. Perhaps what Shimon and Levi did was not appropriate or not right, and that those laws of war. But there's a particular one that I'm thinking of. Where in the Torah is there halacha about rape and war? In the beginning of Ki Tetzeh, we find out if a man goes out to war and he finds a beautiful woman who's of a different nation, right? Of a captive, that he takes, and he keep, well, he can keep her in his house, and she cries and cries and cries, and then he can have relations with her, and she's his wife now. So I wonder if it's like this. What if the Torah is hinting all the way back in Bereishit about the terribleness of this and how this was a way of doing things in the ancient world, and it was an act of war. It was a you know, you consider yourself at war with people. This is something that people considered appropriate action. And so Shechem raped Dinah, and what the brothers saw from that is that this is an act of war. This is Shechem considering her an Eshet Yifat Torah. And therefore, they had to defend her from this person, right? Again, in the story of the Eshet Yifat Torah, we have a lot of references to how she's upset, and she cries over her family, and she cries over her idols, and all these different things. And in the story of Shechem, Shechem has to, like, console her, it says, right? So she's not happy. And so we're actually getting a lot of background over the, first of all, the inappropriateness, like, you know, we're putting into Shechem's world that the inappropriateness of the Eshet Yifat Torah, and also, you know, imagine it, what if it had happened to the Jewish people? Would we be okay with that? And that's to tell you that the Eshet Yifat Torah is really just Keneged Yetzer Hara, and that it's not something that the Torah considers a moral law per se. So that might be, like, the Shadal says that it's to tell us what the curses are talking about, and I think it's to tell you what the Eshet Yifat Torah story is talking about. Maybe. All right, Shkoyach.